UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing okay. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We are joined by Joanne in Colorado, and Joanne's experiences started in early childhood and continues to this day, waking up with marks on her body, loss of time and space, sightings of UFOs and spirits, and since married to Joanne, her husband has experienced the same. Joanne is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Joanne. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm pretty good, thank you. And thank you for joining us today. And you're calling from the state of Colorado.
Yes, I am. I'm calling from the San Luis Valley.
Lovely part of Colorado. Now, Joanne, you have experiences to share with our listeners that began in childhood. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Well, since I was a child, my sister told me that when they brought me home, I'm adopted. So when they brought me home 3 weeks later, I was in the incubator. They said I had a hole in my heart, and I've had things done to my heart since, and there's no sign of there ever being a hole. So that's interesting. But as I go home, back in 1968, it was kind of like, oh, the new baby. And, you know, my mother was outside and all the neighbors were coming and yada, yada, and her friends. And then a big orb was, because we lived like in the corner. So there's a corner house and then our house. And then across from that to the left is just a church. And that was the church that we went to. And it was hovering over that. And no one really noticed. And then the kids started going, oh, you know, what's that? What's that? And of course, I don't remember. I'm an infant. So then it took off. So, you know, I've asked everybody around there with their, 110 cameras. And I think the 35 millimeters were just coming out at the time. Everyone had taken a picture and nobody, I can't find them. I think one of them did, but Miss Fitzgerald, but she had passed away. and her son took over the house. So I have no idea, but it was interesting. So then my parents, my adoptive mother and my aunt, as a very, very small child, would take me to Mount Shasta all the time, just the three of us. And I never saw the inside of my aunt's home, because as soon as we got there, my mother would shove me out and say, go play, go follow the monarchs. And I'm like, what? You know, I mean, I'm scared. I'm a little girl. I'm tiny, 3, 4, 5 years old. And I remember, you know, just kind of looking around. And at that time, it was very underdeveloped. It wasn't developed like it is today. It was my aunt's house and nobody else, you know, that I could see as a young child. And only thing I can remember one time was running as fast as I can because I was scared of something. I was petrified. And so I knew I wasn't allowed in my aunt's house, but I just bashed open the door. And I just opened the door and I refused to leave. And so when I started walking into her other rooms, she grabbed me and pulled me into the kitchen and told me I was not allowed to go anywhere else in that house, that I was to sit there in that kitchen table and basically keep my mouth shut. So, you know, it's kind of, I don't know what happened there. I have never had any regression therapy. No one, although I've looked around, they want to do it online. I don't want to do it online. I think a professional should be there in case they can't snap me out of it, or in case I have some, you know, a really bad memory or something. So I'm not really going to do that. So I had, you know, instances throughout my lifetime. And then when I got emancipated at 16 and left the house, nothing really happened until about 17 years old. Then I would see an orb over the school, because I went back to take my GED because I wanted to get into, at that time, I wanted to get into the military. So I wanted to get my GED and I wanted to pass all the MAPS tests and, you know, get to Denver and try to get in the military, so on and so forth. And that backfired, but that's a long story. So then I became a missionary. So that's what I did. And then I had one instance out there in Chiapas, Mexico. And then I came home and then we got, you know, I got married, and my husband and I, 2 years down the line, about 2 years down the line, we lost space and time on the freeway. And then after that, it was just full blown on. It seems like every year to 2 years, something would happen. And it still is happening now. And I'm almost 55. So I don't see what they could possibly want from me now. You know what I mean? It's kind of like I wake up with marks. My husband wakes up with marks. Things happen to us. I have burn marks, strange marks. I tried to videotape them. I don't find them. We moved around a lot. So we went from Colorado Springs to Port Charlotte, Florida, to Strathmore, California. And now we're back here in the San Luis Valley. So I think our biggest ordeal with many multiple different types of UFOs were in Strathmore, California. So in Strathmore, California, I took video of probably 8 different types of unidentified flying objects. One was extremely nefarious because the orbs were out. We lived in Strathmore. It was a 180-acre farm with 3 houses. And my husband was, and myself, we were the caretakers of this large farm, okay? So it was very dark. No one's supposed to be on the road except where we lived, except the pickers or the cops, as I call them, okay? And my husband and myself, that's it. Or somebody we invited over. So they were out there. You could visibly see them. My husband gets really frightened because there's a lot of them. And so he calls me up and he's yelling at me. And he's like, call the U.S. Air Force, call them now. This is too much, you know, and he's trying to take video and the video is very shaky, but he did take one part that was really clear. And I caught a really good UFO, which I had already sent to you, and it's extremely clear. And so, yeah, I posted it on a few UFO pages and everyone's like, oh, you photoshopped, No, I don't know how to do that. You know, so no, this is my husband and he took the video. So I said, I don't have a number for that, Chris. What's going on? He goes, don't go outside. Stay inside. Well, I'm not going to listen. I'm Irish, okay? I'm a woman and I'm Irish. So I went outside. And I was and the animals, the sheep were a little disoriented. The chickens, you know, this was late at night. They were starting to do their thing. The turkeys were talking and yakking, and I was trying to calm them down. And then I saw them, they were right in front of me. I took video as well. And then all of a sudden, a V-shaped UFO comes right over our house. I didn't look to see if the orbs had left or not. So I look up and I went, oh my God. And I was curious because I'm a very curious person. So I went to go get a ladder and I wanted to go climb up. And then I felt dread, just pure and utter dread. So I got back down and I walked backwards into my house and I called. MUFON was the first person I called and I left a message. I was severely panicked. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. And then I called the fire department, which was right near us because they were very close. So I was trying to call Captain Ortiz and he wasn't there that night. Another gentleman was, and I said, hey, look over at my house. Do you see anything? And it was starting to get dark. And he goes, no, I don't see anything. And he goes, you want me to come over? And I didn't want a fire truck coming over, you know, I didn't want to pay for it either. So I'm like, no, that's okay. If anything happens, I'll call you. I'll call you right back. And then, so Chris gets home. He gets in the house. He's like, everybody okay? And he's kind of freaked out about this. And all of a sudden, we hear two jets out of, we believe, Lemoore. We're not quite sure. The closest place that we lived to was Lemoore Air Force Base. And then all of a sudden, we hear two jets. And they just, we went outside and they just whipped right across our house. They were just like taken off. And so did that V-shape, UAP, UFO, whatever it is. And it took off. And so that would be under the Freedom of Information Act, October 31st, 2013 in Strathmore, California. And so if anyone wants to look it up, please do. It's a hot spot over there. It really is. And then we've seen other ones. One night, my dog, we heard some noise. Chris went outside as soon as he did. Our big dog, I mean, she's huge. She just bolted out and went out in the groves late at night. We were very scared for her. We didn't know what she was going after. I was yelling for her. I had the video on. And I took my phone. I figured it's got to be something. So I took my phone and I'm screaming for mama and I'm screaming to hear my husband. And the video, you can hear my husband is far off to the right. And I'm asking if everything's okay. My camera's facing forward. All of a sudden, a new ship that I have never seen before came and it was just there. And it shined a red light down, like it was looking like, what's wrong? What's going on? What's happening? And I'm like, so I'm yelling for my husband, right? And so that was a whole new ship. I've taken, like I said, 8 different ships out there. One is a blue one. I can't explain how big it is. So it's kind of a weird shaped blue thing. And I took a picture of it. Then when we moved to Colorado, we were out towards Lahara, way, way out there, right at the mountains. We lived on an alfalfa farm for a few years when we moved back in a rental. And it was just two houses, me and then my husband's brother and his wife. There's the only two houses in sight. And so there it was. It's like, what, are you following me? You know, it's kind of like I took a video. I tried to take a video of that, but my phone just went, bleh. I mean, and then I turned it back on, and then I took a picture. So the picture was really kind of, it came out clear, but it was just kind of different because there was something else that was interacting with what was happening at the time. And then I come to find out later what it was. One night out here, my husband's brother is a long haul trucker. Okay. And so he goes on 10. Okay. So he goes on 10. That's toward the mountain. And that's how he comes home. So I'm looking with binoculars because I'm thinking that Billy got stuck and my husband needs to go help him because I didn't see anything moving. I just saw a truck. So I take the binoculars and I'm looking. And all of a sudden, I see a truck after truck after truck go inside the mountain. And then I see these egg-shaped thingies fly out like boom, 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 boom. And I was, oh, my God, I got to get video of this. I go get my phone. And as soon as I get to the back, you know, to the area, it's this thing came. And it was right there in my yard. And it blinded me, literally blinded me. I went to the eye doctor. I couldn't see. So I tried to find, I got scared, I dropped my phone. I find my way to, my husband's asleep. I find my way, it's 11:30 at night. I find my way to the bathroom. I close the door. I'm shaking like a leaf. I've got a warm towel over my eyes. And when my eyesight started coming back, the only thing I could see is like an egg-shaped type, you know, bright white light in my face. That's all I see. This went on for like over half an hour before things started focusing again. It was extremely scary for me and very upsetting, extremely upsetting. When I woke up there one morning, I have a picture on my Facebook and I have aliens are here and more. And we know it. And it's my little, I think I got 52 followers. I mean, it's not that many, but I try to post a lot of pictures up there. And then apparently I drew, but it's not my handwriting. Somebody drew. It's got, I don't know, what does it look like, Chris? Like a praying mantis?
Yeah.
Like a praying mantis. So I'm waking up. I'm a clean freak. So I know where I leave things at all times. So I see this piece of paper and it's on top of my washer and it's a drawing of this creature and it says something in effect, I live in an alien world and I live here. And this arrow points at the shoulder and I'm like, Chris, are you pulling a prank on me? What's going on here? You know, that's not even my handwriting and it's not his. I know his handwriting. I said, what's going on here? He goes, well, you drew it. I go, I drew it? He goes, you must have. And I'm thinking, no. So I've kept it. I still have it. And I posted it on my aliens are here and more and we know it. And I've got it in my private files on Facebook. And that's it. So I don't, you know, and then I move here. We get a house. My husband buys a house, Colorado. And then I woke, so it happened, what, a couple times here?
Yeah.
A couple, just two times, I think, here. Two times, yeah, because I woke up with that V-shaped mark on my foot. And then the last time was last year, which were like, something was trying to hold me down. There were like burn marks on my ankles. I didn't get up and look at the rest of my body because it was late and I didn't wake him up, and I should have, I know, but I didn't. But what are you going to do? I mean, it's kind of like there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I have no idea what's going on, you know? So I've never known what's going on. Never. I can't figure it out. You know, I've talked to different people. Some people say, oh, it's your DNA. Well, okay. You know, I'm Irish. I found out. I did that 23andMe. You know, I did all that. You know, I find out I'm Irish and British, and pretty much that's it. Scottish, Irish, and British, you know, makes a lot of sense from the type of music that I play and that I played as a child that I liked and certain foods of that nature. So I kind of go, yeah, that figures, you know. And then it says, you're part of the O'Neill dynasty. Well, there's like 29,000 people that are too. You know, so I'm kind of figuring, no, it's not, it can't be my DNA. You know, it just can't. I think it's more nefarious than that. I really do. I think some parts are nefarious, and then there's others, like the orbs, that are trying to protect me and watch out for me. And the blue thing, I don't even know what that is. I think they're protecting me. From what? I don't know. I really have no idea. Really, about all I have to say to that. I mean, that's kind of like my life summed up in a few minutes, but...
Now, has all your experiences all just been sightings, or have you had any closer encounters?
Well, I've seen two portals in Strathmore open up, and one that, I'm not going to call a thing, I don't know what it was up in the tree, and it was staring at me, and it was just kind of analyzing me and watching me with the animals. I took a picture. I got a picture of it. It's funny. Some people can see it. And I was just showing a girl the other day. And I go, do you see that? And she goes, oh, yeah, what is that? That's an alien. I go, yeah, I see. But if I show somebody else, I go, what am I looking at? Yeah, okay, pretty backyard, whatever, you know. And they don't see it. So I don't know. But, yeah, so, and then the one when I screamed, and the video is up on YouTube under my name, Joanne. If you open it up to your TV, okay, and you look at the lower left-hand side, you can see what looks to be alien being, you know, kind of like purple and red and or like red, but with purple eyes or something. It's just really interesting. And I'm kind of like going, okay, all right, that was fun. One time I was outside in Strathmore and I just looked up and I said, you know what? All I want to know before I die, I just want to know one thing. I want to know if mankind makes it or not. That's all I want to know. I don't want to know anything else in this life. It's really important for me that mankind makes it as we are, not augmented, not brain chipped. I mean, 100% human. It's extremely important to me. So I go on the other side of the house, okay, because there's like three doors in this house. So I go on the other side of the house to check on the lamb and turkeys and so forth. But I had a cigarette and I'm just standing there and I put the cigarette out. And then I'm looking and I look towards the right because I felt something. I felt something was next to me. So I turned around and I said, what? And then I got the stuff blown into my face. I didn't know what happened. A friend later on that I had met on Facebook, he called them nanites. At that time, I had no clue what they were. So he explained it to me. He showed me some websites, so on and so forth. I was blown into, went up my nose, my mouth. It was kind of like inside. It was weird. It felt so strange. But so I tell my husband what happened, and he's like, yeah, no one's spraying today and there's no wind. And, that's interesting. Well, that night I went to bed and then I found myself in the year 2450. Okay. Was I remote viewing? Probably. Did my body actually go there? I don't know. I have no idea. So I see this future that I would not want to be in. Okay. But it was a tall creature. It was very tall. That's all I remember. It's just showing me that, like, this bullet shaped solid material thing. And there were some vents on top. I had a real clear view of that. And I said, what are those? And this thing said, they're working on them now. Don't worry. They'll make it. It'll be okay. And then I went to go. I wanted to go inside of this building. And he put out his left arm and shook his head no. Very curious person, so I want to know stuff. So, and then the next thing I know, I wake up. I'm awake and I go, honey, you know, I'm hitting him. I'm like, wake up, you know. And I'm asking him, did I go anywhere? Did you go to the restroom? Did you see that I left? Did you feel anything? Did you hear anything? He goes, no, I slept good all through the night. And I'm like, okay, well, here's what happened. He goes, well, you asked. You just wanted to know one thing. So somebody told you that one thing. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, other than that, I can't think of it. My husband. He sees these things bouncing on the mountains because he drives all over the valley for his work. And so he sees periodically these very large things kind of going through the mountains. And I caught one on film when we were driving, huh, Chris? From driving to Monta Vista. And we were on 10. So, of course, 10. So, County Road 10. So, I'm driving. I'm like, there's one. There's another. And I get the camera out. And, you know, we're driving on a dirt road. So, it's very hard to keep the camera still. But I actually managed to get a picture of it instead of the video. The video is very difficult. Someone actually, I put it on my YouTube channel and somebody actually said, oh, good. That's good that you, yeah, they're here, you know, and or something of that nature. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you could see it because I can't. You know? I know it was there. I saw it, but not on the video. So I was like, yeah, okay. Okay, so one strange thing did happen. All the animals were in the house and we have a lot. Okay, so we have what? Six? We have six dogs, six cats, and a bird. Okay, so we have a lot of animals. And at that time, we had two extra animals plus ducks. Okay, so now all the animals in California, we heard a noise outside as usual. So my husband goes outside and, you know, it wasn't late at night. It was dark though. And my dog's on the couch with me and everybody's at peace. And everyone's calm. The cats are super calm. You know, they're sleeping in their chairs and whatnot. Chris goes out and they're looking at him. And then he comes back. He's not even gone, 2 minutes? He comes back and they all were deathly afraid of him. Barking at him, hissing at him. The cats went under the bed. They hid away from him. The dogs ran into the other room. It was like, what in the hell just happened? You know? I mean, it was, I go, what happened, Chris? And he goes, what do you mean? I want to know what happened here. What happened when I was gone? I go, well, you're the only guy. I looked at the clock. I go, you got 2 minutes. Did you see anything out there? He goes, no. And so I thought, huh, they replaced you. And that's the first thing that came out of my mouth. He goes, what? And I go, yeah, you know, like cloned you. And he goes, no, they didn't. He all upset. So I don't know what happened, but it was very bizarre. It was very, very bizarre. So, and that went on for two days or three?
2 days.
2 days? That, oh man, they didn't like him. And, you know, he's the animal's best friend. He saves eagles and he saved a bald eagle, you know, last year. He saves animals and things that are caught in the wires of the fences because we're here in rural Colorado. So you're going to see all kinds of things. And he drives all over the place. He's rescuing something or if a rabbit dies and he sees it on the road. He's got a shovel and he'll bury it and, you know, he'll find some sticks and he'll make a little cross. I mean, he's like the animal guy. You know what I'm saying? He's the sweetest animal guy. And, you know, outdoor animals. I'm better with the indoor. So he's just, so for them to act that way was quite bizarre.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not going to figure it out. So in a way, I don't even know why I'm talking about this to anybody, because there's nothing I can do about it. And my sister keeps telling me to drop it. Just drop it. There's nothing you can do about it. Why waste your breath? Why waste your time? And I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. And so I'll stop for a while. And then all of a sudden, a year later, you pop up and I'm like, okay, I emailed you when? Like you said, it went to spam. And I looked in spam. So, and I forgot all about it because I've reached out to a lot of people, you know, a lot. I've reached out to physicists at Berkeley. I reached out to a lot of important people. I've reached out to people I've seen on television. I've spoke to them. It seems like nobody or nothing can help us or have anything to say that will be like a light bulb. We'll be like, oh, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? And so Linda Moulton Howe, she even said, There's nothing she can do. She doesn't know. And she, you know, basically that was it. I mean, she was very cordial, very nice to me. I mean, they were just sweet people. You know, I really have a lot of respect for her. But she basically said there's nothing that she didn't know, that there was nothing she could do. And that was that. So, I mean, I've reached out to every single person that I possibly think of, or if I've seen them on TV. So, you know, until I get that light bulb, I guess I'm going to keep searching until the day I die, I guess. You know, I reached out to one, and, you know, I'm a Christian. Yes, Christians believe in aliens because they see them too, you know, and so do Hindus, and so do Buddhists, and so do, you know what I'm saying? People have seen them. All cultures, all religions, you know, from children to the elderly, we've seen them. Doesn't matter what color we are. Doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what religion we are. We've seen them. You know, I have something outside here that a friend made. It's a big rock, and so there's a cross on one side and an alien ship on the other with my address. So I really don't care what people think, and I never will. And that's, you know, so I'm a Christian. And so I told this person, he told me at that time I lived on the 37th parallel, and I asked him what it meant, and he showed me. And of course, he had a book for sale. And so he showed me and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, it's really interesting. And I'm on the 37th parallel again, where I live. X marks the spot. Now that's where I live now. So that was interesting. So as soon as I told him I was a Christian, he goes, I don't deal with Christians. That's it. I'm done. We're done with this conversation. I'm like, what? I go, Christians see stuff like this all day. I talk to other Christians. Hey, aliens do. They've actually seen them with their eyes. You know, they've talked to them. I haven't even talked to them. What are you talking about? He goes, I'm sorry. I got to go. I'm like, wow. Yeah, you're real mature. You know? So, yeah. Now, I learned, I think, earlier that the TV people were just that. You know, it's just a show. And I'm not a showcase. You know what I mean? I want answers. I don't. And I need help. You know, and my husband needs help. We don't need you know, to be a spectacle on the television.
Before Chris met you, would he have experiences and sightings before, or did everything happen after?
No, the only thing, have you had anything happen to you before you met me, other than the cow mutilation?
No.
So he was here in the valley back in the day. What was it, the 80s, the 70s? He was back here in the day, late 70s, when they had the big cow mutilation. Well, his father worked on that farm. So, you know, it was a big deal. And so his father and his family, they knew of this. And everybody around here knew what was going on with the cow mutilations. And that was kind of like the start of it, you know, of the cow mutilations. And now it's kind of gone worldwide, sporadically worldwide from what I researched. But you never had any other encounter? You never saw anything? Not that he can think of.
But since marrying Joanne, that's he's had all his sightings after.
He's going, yeah. He's like, yeah, it's been fun. And especially, you know, I was a pastor for a while. So, you know, being a pastor, I went to Nazarene Bible College, I was a pastor for a while. So then when people catch on, you know, because people talk, right? So you're talking to somebody who's not a Christian at the coffee shop, and she tells you she's seen this, and you tell her that I've seen this. And back then, we didn't have the cell phones, right? So we're exchanging stories, yada, yada. And so then, of course, the other people come in, they go, she would talk, you know, and then all of a sudden, people at the church would go, are you the one? Because there's a Joanne in last name, you know, that it has experience with aliens. And what am I going to do? Lie? I'm a pastor. I'm not going to lie. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's me. Well, then, you know, you know, it's kind of like, well, they're demons. They're all demons. No, they're not all demons. No, they're not. There's good and bad in humans, and there's good and bad in various alien species, okay? So far, I've counted only nine, the big one in the sky. I don't even know what that is. So let's say nine, okay? So, and I've seen the thing in the tree, and I saw the other, I'm not going to call this thing, that's kind of rude, isn't it? The entity in the tree, and then I saw that little thing, little entity, sort of near my feet. And then the time travel experience. I can't say that they're all of the devil and they're all evil, because I've had more humans hurt me that I know of than I ever have anything else. So far, it was the humans that have destroyed me, almost. They've tried. So, but I do believe in multiple. There's got to be multiple species out there. And some are good and some are bad. And it's just kind of like if you're like the army, I'm sure there's great army men and women who have a heart of gold. And then there's some that just want to, you know, do their job and do it well, and they thrive off of it, you know, and they're not so good people. I mean, my brother, he left Camp Pendleton after 20 years, you know, so. You know, he did his time of service, and, you know, he's told me, man, whew, I'm glad I'm the hell out of here, you know. He goes, for the most part, they're good people, but for some of them, they're psychotic. And, you know, and so he was happy that he actually got to leave, that his 20 years was up.
You know, you're certainly in the right place. Quite an active valley, the whole area. You know, you've got Dulce, which isn't too far from, you know, the underground places, yeah, of Dulce. And I've had guests which have been sporadically around the valley. I've had people from Jasper and have experiences in the mountains there. And across, I think it's out east, La Vida Pass.
Oh, yeah. We cross La Vida Pass a lot because I'm disabled now. And I go to Pueblo. If we go, see, our only thing here, you know, is Walmart. That's our mall. Okay. And that's like a half an hour, 45 minutes away, depending upon the snow, right? and traffic. But, you know, to go to a specialist or anything of that nature, you have to go over Levita Pass. And if you go to Durango, you have to go over Wolf Creek Pass. My doctors are not in Wolf Creek. So I'm going to Salida. And then from Salida, which is near La Junta, you know, they found that alien on the camera in La Junta. You know, so if you look up La Junta alien caught on Ring, I think it's a Ring, they caught that entity, you know, kind of running off. But so we're going to Salida, and then from Salida, if I have all six discs, you know, have the surgery done, then I will have to go to Denver. So then that's back up Levita Pass. So yeah, you know, they like the cold. I think they like the cold weather. I mean, look at the ones in Antarctica, right? So I'm assuming they really like the cold. I don't know what else to say. It's the only thing I kind of figured out, sort of. maybe not. I don't know. Oh, Mount Blanca, that's a hot spot. And that, if I go outside right now, that's my view of my backyard is Mount Blanca. So Mount Blanca is the hot spot, you know, almost of the planet. I mean, if you just Google that. And whoo, we saw one, huh? I did. I saw it. So we're driving home from Alamosa, and I just looked out the window. I didn't have my camera ready or nothing. We were going pretty fast. And I go, oh, check that out, man. A Tic Tac. That's cool. And I didn't even ask them to stop because I've seen Tic Tacs before. And I've taken pictures of Tic Tacs before. But I didn't care. I was kind of like in this whatever mode. And so he goes, really? And he's trying to look at that. I didn't see it. And he goes, you want me to turn around? I go, nah, what the hell for? Just go home. You know, and so next thing you know, from Denver, his nephew, he's calling up Chris. I mean, like the second we got home, he goes, hey, did you guys see the Tic Tac over there and off of Mount Blanca? And we're like, how did you find out so quick? Because news travels super fast here when it comes to alien stuff. It's like really kind of a hot, it's like boom, boom, boom. And so he knew about it because a friend of his took the video of it. So no, and I didn't take a video of it. So Mount Blanca is interesting. It's an interesting place. You know, his father would talk about that when he was alive, my husband's father. He would say that aliens live up there. You know, don't go near Mount Blanca. Aliens live up there. And then I go, why? Have you seen them? He goes, just never mind. They live up there. Don't go over there. That's what he would tell us. And he passed away. And so did his mother. His mother would just look at him like, you know, real mean, like, you know, keep your mouth shut kind of thing. You know, back in the day, people weren't supposed to talk about these things. You know, you could get killed. Hell, you probably could get killed now for talking about it. Who knows?
Yeah, I'll check that out. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they did live up there in the Rocky Mountains.
There's a lot of different species. I really do believe that. I really do. My husband, I'll send you a picture. My husband, I was trying to show my friends that I made in California when we moved back to California for a little while. I wanted to show them how cold it was here. So I opened the door and I took pictures of the icicles just near the light, you know. So I turned on the light and I took pictures of the icicles. I mean, they're gigantic, right? And so I said, look at these icicles, Chris. I'm like, those are amazing. And he goes, what was that? And I go, what is what? And he zoomed in and he cropped it. And he goes, an eye was up there. It looked like it was staring. And I said, oh, must have been a really big alien. What, 14, 15 feet? He goes, yeah, about 14 feet. And I said, huh, okay, well, you know. And then I went outside and I opened the door and I said, hello. I wanted to talk to him. You know, I really wanted to because I want answers, right? So I go out in the back and I'm literally trying to talk to this creature. And so I'm saying things, you know, I'm talking and nothing happened and nothing at all. That's interesting. So I still have that picture and I'll share it with you. It's really interesting. So I guess I've had pictures of three different creatures. The one in the tree. Do you remember the video of the alien that the government, they have it out there on YouTube. People said it was fake. I'm like, no, I ain't fake. They have this alien that they're talking to him. And he said, we are you, but in the future. You know, this is what has happened. And he's talking about nuclear. And he looks like a little gray, dark gray type of alien being. People out there know about that. But that's what, I mean, a lot of people have seen it. So I've seen it like 4 or 5 times just because I'm trying to analyze stuff. So that's what I saw up in my tree. That's what it looks like to me. And so I have 2 pictures of those portals as well. And they're also on my YouTube page. So I didn't see what came out or in of the first one. It was beautiful. It was breathtaking. It was like, the second one was just kind of poof. Yeah, like something just popped out. And it just left a ring, you know, like just a ring. And was the day that I took the picture of that gray entity that was up in the tree. So
what I'll do is I'll make your links and your pictures available to the listeners so they can check them out.
I'll send them to you. Yeah, unless you already have them, go ahead. Do you have them already?
Yeah, I think you have sent me some stuff already. What I'll do is there'll be a link in the description of this episode, and then it will go on the website, and then there'll be links to your YouTube and all that.
Well, that's up to them to look. That's pretty much basically it, other than my childhood and Follow the Monarch. That's interesting. Both sets of parents were. It's very interesting because my father, both fathers were in World War II, okay? And then both fathers, that, and I didn't know the first, I only know my adopted father at that time. Then later on, I come to find out that, you know, they were both there in San Francisco at the same time. Then they were both living in Herlong, California at the same time. Then both sets of families both moved to North Highlands, California at the same time. And then my sister actually babysat me in my own house, and I didn't even find her until, you know, 34 years later, you know, finding my family and finding my family tree and realizing that this was not a coincidence. This was by design. And I really do believe that. Because how can, I mean, she lived like, well, Channing. So I would have been like 4 blocks away from me my whole life and didn't even know it. Didn't even know it. Nobody knew it. Then when I told my father when he was still alive, he said, oh, okay. Yeah, I used to deliver mail to them all the time, every day, you know, for 25 years. I'm thinking, Jesus. So other than that, I'm trying to backtrack really far to see what the deal is with Mount Shasta. I still haven't quite figured that out and why they kept sending me there.
Can I ask you about that? When they say follow the monarchs, is that in relation to the butterflies?
Yes, to the butterfly. And I did find some information on this one website that people from McClellan Air Force Base, and that's my area, right? Because it's North Highlands, California. And that's where I was bred, you know, by my family, the adopted family. And then my mother worked there. My real mother worked there. I didn't even know it until I found my family, which is interesting. But they got in trouble for Project MKUltra, Project Monarch. So they got sued, and the people that sued them actually won the lawsuit. Well, years later, they closed down McClellan Air Force Base, and now they turned it into an apartment area. And so I'm going online, and I'm looking, going, oh, my house is, my apartment's haunted. You know, and I'm watching these hauntings going on. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, if you're going to go over there and mess with kids or kill them or whatever, I wouldn't want to live there. Kind of like, I wouldn't want to be there.
I mean, that's the connection with the monarchs is the whole MK Ultra. I did have a guest on not so long ago, and she was in the programs.
Well, I don't know if I was in the program. I really couldn't say. I really believe my mom and my aunt sold me out. How they sold me out, they sold me out. See, I was abused. And I was abused in every way you could possibly think of. Okay. What I mean by sold me out is that she pawned me off and they made money. And that's what happened. And then I get endometriosis 3 times. I get it so severe that, you know, the doctor's holding this big glass jar going, this is what we took out of you. I'm like, he goes, I know you were sexually abused. You cannot tell me you weren't. I'm like, I don't remember. And at that time, I didn't. I was young. I was like 16, 17, and then 20 when I had my last surgery. I did not remember at that time. But then as I grow up and, you know, starting to think and starting to, you know, pray and meditate and relax and trying to find my homeostasis in life, that's when things started kind of flooding back to me. And then I started talking to certain people, certain family members, and I would talk to my brother. He's gone now. He shot himself, so he's gone. So, but I would talk to him about it. And so, and he would talk to me, and he would talk to me in a very depressive state, and he would tell me things, and I'd be like, oh my God. Jesus Christ, you know. And he would say, oh, you got it the worst. You got it the worst. You know, how could you take care of mom? You got it the worst. Because I was taking care of her at our house in California. She was bedridden the last 3.5 years of her life. And I got to take care of that witch. And she really was. She was very, I don't know what she was. I believe she was somewhat on it because, you know, we had a lot of stories with her. And one that just can't get out of my, there's two, but one that can't get out of my head was at the very end of her life, you know, almost the last word she ever spoke, she called for me and my husband. Well, she never called for me and my husband. She only called for me because I was trying to show her love, how a family should love each other, you know, take care of each other, a couple. I was trying to show her love, you know, that kind of thing. I was trying to be the doting daughter, not doting, but just, you know what I mean? So she called for both of us and she goes, hey, grandpa was here and I'm going to die 2 days after my birthday. And Chris said, but you're not even in hospice. And he goes, and she goes, shut up. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to my daughter. And she's like, you know, pointing her finger. I said, okay. She goes, come over here, sit down next to me on the bed and hold my hand. I sit down next to the bed, I'm holding her hand, and she goes, I only really have one regret in this life. And I go, what's that? You know, and she goes, but I didn't beat you more as a child. And she had a massive, massive stroke right there, right in front of our face. I called hospice. Hospice came out. Oh, they were fast, too. Oh, my God. I called the hospital. The hospital called the doctor, and the doctor called hospice, and the hospice came out. And she said, oh, yeah, she only has a day or two to live. You know, here's the morphine and here's what you need to do. And I'm like, dang, okay. So she did pass away 2 days after her. She passed away, no, 3 days. Well, it's been two, really. We found her on the 10th and her birthday was on the 7th. And so she could have passed away, you know, early in the morning. I'm assuming by her temperature of her body, it was probably around 2 or 3. But I get up and I got up and I go, oh, mom, she's dead. You know, Chris is all upset. And I go, why are you upset? It's the happiest day of my freaking life. You know, it's kind of like, you need to call your family. No, I don't. I don't need to call anybody. What I need to do is get in the shower and I'm going to do my hair and I'll put on some makeup. And I'll do my nails for the first time in 3.5 years. And then I will call everyone I need to call. She's dead. She ain't going nowhere. You know, literally, she's not going anywhere. So I take my time and he's upset. He's really upset that I'm not out, that I'm taking my time. And I did come back. So I went back into her room and did everything right, you know, crossed their arms and put the sheet over her and all that good stuff. And I kissed her on the forehead. I sat down. I go, you know what? Out of everybody you've ever met in this entire life, I was the only one who truly loved you enough to take care of you. I am the only one out of all your kids, because at that time there were 7. And I'm the one who loved you the most. So I need you to go towards the light and go to heaven so you can become a really good person. Okay? You know, so you can be good. Okay, so go. So do certain aliens have pity on us? Do some feed off of that terrible things that have happened to us? You know, so that's why we get the burn marks or the bad things that happen. And that's why we see maybe the good ones. And they, you know, have talked to others. They've never talked to me. I remote view. So if I do talk, it's in a remote view type of setting, but not face to face, never. So maybe that's a key. Maybe that's a key element, that the bad ones feed off of our negativity and the good ones, you know, want to help, you know, because I don't believe they're all bad. I really don't. I know they're not. I know they're not. You know, when Yogi died, when the farm vet came, when he came to our house and he euthanized my 18-year-old dog, Yogi, he was a basset hound. I was so, I was distraught, okay? And then I went outside to have a cigarette, and I look up, and there's an orb going across my head, and it was very close. It was close. And it was going by so slowly in a cream color fashion, cream, to say, we're sorry, you know, we're with you. It's going to be okay. And it went so slow, just right at the farm. It's right across my head. And I looked up and I waved at him. And I said, thanks, man. I go, thank you. It seems to me that red, if you see the color red, and I know this from the farm. I don't know about the world. But on the farm, red meant danger. And cream colored meant it's all good. White meant we're busy, leave us alone. That's what it seems like to me, because I'm looking and I've written a lot of stuff down because my friend said I should. So I kind of come to the conclusion from North Highlands, California to, well, from North Highlands to Chiapas, Mexico, to Florida, so Port Charlotte, Florida, to California in the Central Valley this time. And then now here, it seems to be the consensus. It seems to be that's the color that they use. The orange, I don't know. I took a picture, it's in my file, of an orange orb that was just kind of laying there in the tree, it looked like. And I just took a picture of it, and then I took off. That's interesting. Gotta go. You know, so, and I took that out of my laundry room window. So I still don't know what that was. I still don't. I saw it once. I saw an orange one once, and that was enough. I don't know what it meant. But people who are abused, I'm thinking it's got to be perhaps the abuse kind of signaling them. Maybe we have a higher frequency. So, you know, your people who are listening have had experiences. They should check out their arms. Hey, they're arm hairs. For me, it's arms. So if I'm inside I was just watching TV 2 weeks ago and my arm hairs went straight up. And then so did the back of my hairs. And I guess my eyebrows did too a little bit. And my husband goes, your family's here. I started laughing. I'm like, shut up. No, I'm not going outside tonight. It's too cold. It's like minus 10. I don't care if they're here. They can come in if they want. I'm not going out. It was kind of like a joke, but it was actually serious, too, on one hand, that I always knew in California when they were there because of my arm hair. And I would feel this frequency that was something that you can't make up. You cannot make it up. You just know. You know, it's a frequency in your body and your, you know, to look for signs for your anything from your ear hairs, your hair, your head, if you have tingling on your head, anything, go outside, get your camera, take a picture, take a video, take something. You know, we need to find out. The government's not going to tell us. We need to figure it out.
Right. You know, like I tell all my guests, a lot of these answers, you know, you won't find. A lot of it is self-discovery more than anything else and how that individual comes to it all. All you can really do is by sharing these accounts and piecing, you know, those little bits together. But it's the very difficult thing is, yeah, there is, I'm sure that there is definitely answers out there, but because this whole subject is so complex, you know, there's no real answers that we may not even be able to understand ourselves.
Yes, it's very complex indeed. And I kind of look at it as good and bad. And a friend of mine called them that there are pirates out there. So, like, the aliens, there are good ones working with the government. There are bad ones working with, you know, contracting government. And, you know, other ones that are totally on their own that are working with the bad ones. And he called them pirates. And he kind of explained to me to steer away from them. So if I felt certain things alone and to constantly do something different, you know, do things that you've never done before. And so I do that. I still do that. And I've taken his advice because he's always been right. He is, so far, my friend has never been wrong. Never. So even with my DNA, he ran my DNA without my knowledge, like a toxicology report thing. And he said, well, this is missing, that's missing, this is, that's missing, is why is it missing? And why is this negative? This shouldn't be negative. Now, I don't understand what the heck he's talking about because I don't understand about DNA. But, you know, he's really upset, you know, and he tries to figure it out. And he goes, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. And I'm like, oh, my God, you don't know where I live. I can't just go to Denver and go get this blood test on a whim. It's a 5-hour drive over Lavita Pass. You know, it's kind of like, it's not that easy. So, yeah. So it's kind of like he's trying to help. And there's other people in my life that try to help here and there. But they're also trying to help themselves, too, trying to figure it out. So it's kind of like a network of certain people that are trying to figure out certain things. And then I might have an answer for, you know, so-and-so, and she might have an answer for me. Or a thought. So we don't get together, unfortunately, because these are all people on the internet that I've known for quite a long time. Now, I've been on the internet since 1996. I've been on there for a long time. So there are certain people that you meet throughout your life that you just kind of gather and try to figure it out. You know, but it's hard to trust people that you can't see. That you don't know. So I try to get to know these people first. You try, and then you network, you know, and you stay close.
That's wonderful, Joanne. Joanne, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Keep in contact, okay? And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now. That's all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you've had an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Joanne for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.